The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Good Friday. I'm live. I'm here. Rich is here. Dom will join us later. He's a little late to the party, as is his custom. He'll join at 4 o'clock. But, you know, I got to tell you, fine folks, Good Friday and all. Some sneak off and spend a little time with family, or so they claim. Probably going to the casino. But right-wing talk radio, I try to tune into my competitors today. Wanted to hear what they had to say. A lot of disrespect for their audience in this regard. Nothing but fill-ins. Nothing but fill-ins. Kittle. Kittle. Wannabe journalist, Matt Kittle. He wrote so many of the Scott Walker boot-licking articles regarding the John Doe over the course of, oh man, it was years. He made a career out of basically kissing Scott Walker's ass and saying, no criminality. It's not as bad as the, you know, the evidence would seem to indicate. But anywho, he's filling in for Vicky today. So all you Vicky fans, welcome to the Devil's Advocates. You know, I know there's probably some tuning over because we're doing real radio over here. No fill-ins. No, throw it in on a Friday sort of shows. We got real politics going on here. And anyways, oh, and some entertainment, some good stuff. Peach Wabba from the Nightlight going to join us a little bit later in the big show. I'll try to get you a final score on the Brewer game. You know, we'll have a good time around here. Pete's going to join at 3:30 in the Nightlife. That is Pete's effort to help inform us on all things entertainment. You know, sometimes you can waste plenty of time just trying to find something good to watch on the Netflix or the Hulu. Well, Pete's going to tell you what you should be watching this Easter weekend, perhaps. And I wanted to talk about a guy who claimed, they always claim, going off to spend the holiday with family, Congressman Mike Gallagher. Gallagher had told us he wasn't running for re-election. We knew that. But the new news, the recent news, the breaking news this week was Gallagher, well, he's going to be out. Not so quickly that it would trigger a special election, but quickly enough, it's going to actually cause chaos with the Republican House. And the immediate thought, you know, the claim of every Republican that walks away, spending more time with family, has a young family, as I understand it. But now the real truth is starting to come out. And it's now my opinion, based on the new reporting from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I'll share it with you in a bit. Well, the truth is Mike's going off to become a high-paid, let's call him a defense contractor. Or at least he's going to work for a firm that does a lot of high-paid defense contracting. Dateline D.C., Wisconsin Republican Rep. Mike Gallagher plans to take a job with a data analytics company, Palantir, after his sudden retirement from Congress next month. According to media reports, the Green Bay Republican said last week that he would leave Congress April 19th. Be cooler if he left on the 20th, after initially saying he planned to retire at the end of the current term. Now, hard to read that, be careful, a puck news with the P, folks, I swear to God. Reporter soon after said Gallagher told people he would take a job with Palantir, the data analytics and security firm started by Peter Thiel. Now, who's that guy? We'll get to that in a minute. Forbes later reported Gallagher planned to take a job with the company, and it's not clear that Gallagher's role would be what his role would be with Palantir. Well, cash and checks, of course, whose data services are used by the U.S. Corp, U.S., I think that means the government, corporations, and other governments. So they're a, what, multinational. They do business with governments, the U.S. and foreign, including in the security and defense context. They're a defense contractor. They do the data side of defense contracting. Is that what I'm understanding from this sort of coy reporting here? Now, Palantir didn't respond to questions from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. A Gallagher aide couldn't confirm the move, but Gallagher, one of Congress's lead defense hawks, who chairs the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, told the Journal Sentinel in February that any job he took would be in line with his focus on defense policy and his goals of preventing conflict in the Indo-Pacific. And his announcement that he would leave Capitol Hill earlier than expected came shortly after the House passed his bill to force the Chinese-based owner of the video sharing app TikTok to sell its stake in the app or face a ban in the U.S. Well, we know about the TikTok, but apparently that's not enough of a reason for Gallagher to stay in the Congress. He's going to the private sector, and we suspected he would. I didn't know he would become a defense contractor. I didn't know he would go to work for Peter Thiel. And the last time I heard from Peter Thiel, it was when he was supporting Donald Trump in his 2016 presidential run. Now, apparently, Peter's turned over a few new leaves. Here is how he's now described. This is a recent column. I found this at The Guardian. This is an international news source. We use it occasionally. Well, apparently, the article is more than 4 months. The Guardian reports to me. But, you know, relatively recent. November of 2023. My bad. Here's the headline. Peter Thiel won't fund any 2024 races after backing Trump in 2016. His quote, "It was crazier than I thought." How could you not think that Donald Trump was crazy? Anyways, Peter Thiel, the tech billionaire who supported Donald Trump in 16 and sunk millions more into underperforming MAGA candidates in subsequent election cycles, has confirmed rumors that he's stepping away from the 2024 political funding, spending more time with family or Mike Gallagher. Mike Gallagher also stepping away. Apparently, Peter Thiel will be Mike Gallagher's new boss at the defense contract job down at Palantir. Now, that's not how it's being described exactly, but, you know, read between the lines. In an interview with The Atlantic, Peter Thiel said voting for Trump was like a not very articulate scream for help. Oh, it was a scream for help. And that things had not turned out the way he had hoped when he donated $1.25 million to Trump and Trump-affiliated political funds 8 years ago. There are a lot of things I got wrong. It was crazier than I thought. It was more dangerous than I thought. They couldn't get the most basic pieces of government to work. So that was, I think that was part of maybe worse than even my low expectations. That quote attributed to Thiel. Now, Thiel told the magazine that Trump had called him earlier this year to solicit $10 million, the same amount he had donated to Blake Masters, a former protege who campaigned and lost a Senate bid in Arizona last year. Blake Masters, this crazy MAGA candidate, apparently was a protege of Mr. Peter Thiel. And J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance, that's the Ohio guy. Don't care for him much either. Now, he is the author of the Hillbilly Elegy, and he won an Ohio Senate seat. Yes, he did. I once appeared on Fox News to criticize the candidacy of J.D. Vance. That's how much I cared. And when Thiel turned down Trump's request, he said the former president told him that he was very sad. Very sad to hear that. He later heard that Trump had insulted him to Blake Masters, calling him an effing scumbag. Well, you weren't being loyal. You know that Trump requires loyalty, you effing scumbag. Now, Thiel, a co-founder of PayPal and the big data analytics firm Palantir, whose fortune is estimated between $4 and $9 billion, said that while he was not planning to donate in this cycle, there's always a chance I might change my mind. He added that his husband doesn't want me to give any more money, and he's right. Thiel's gay, if you were unaware. He's married. He also said that he knew political candidates are going to be pestering me like crazy. Now, the Atlantic profile sheds light on why Thiel, sometimes described as a techno-libertarian, had become a political donor at all. He explained that in early 2016, when a jury sided with Terry Jean Bollea, a.k.a. Hulk Hogan, in an invasion of privacy lawsuit against the Gawker Media, in an action that Thiel had funded, he read it as a sign that Trump could win. Well, because you could overwhelm the media. You could use your money to overwhelm and basically close down a media site. That was Thiel's takeaway. 10 days before Trump's political coronation at the Republican National Convention that year, Trump's son, Don Jr., called to ask if Thiel wanted to speak from the platform. He agreed. He told the magazine in part because he favored candidates with pessimistic slogans. If you're too optimistic, it shows you're out of touch. Make America Great Again was the most pessimistic slogan for any candidate in 100 years because you're saying that we are no longer a great country. And that was a shocking slogan for a major presidential candidate. Well, I was in the room that day. Thiel also sounded off on diversity initiatives, calling them very evil. It's very silly. And his interest in life extension, a common theme among tech billionaires. I should be investing way more money in this stuff, he said. You know, because he's so cool, he should live forever. So we know where Mike Gallagher's going to work. He's going to work for Peter Thiel, the Trump funder. Now just self-serving. You know, many of the tech billionaires are. But Gallagher, you know, he'll get big fat paychecks. That's what he was looking for, I suspect. You know, when he turned his back on the constituents of the 8CD. That's the Green Bay area. Love our friends up there. They'll be joining us at 4 o'clock, as will Dominic. I got Pete Schwaba joining from WGBW. That's Green Bay territory at 3:30. Come back, though. More Devil's Advocates you could join. 844-967-2789. Have a good Friday. Don't quit your job, though.
The Devil's Advocates. The fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. A delayed opening day for the Milwaukee Brewers. They played earlier today. Some of you heard them on these. Well, I guess those that heard them aren't listening right now unless they're listening on the stream. But anyways, we got Brewers on the Civic Media Network. Brewers won today, opening day for the Brewers. You know, rain delayed yesterday. 3-1. They beat the Mets. Technically a come from behind victory because they trailed 1-0. So, but over the course of that game, 3-1 Brewers, your winners. And Rich is going without us to opening day on Tuesday. That is a big day. Opening day, which some treat like it's a, you know, a holiday. We're here working on Good Friday, but good luck finding Rich on opening day, April 2nd. And anyways, something about an election going on. You know, we are supposed to be a political show of sorts. And that also happening on Tuesday, April 2nd. And Donald Trump coming to Green Bay. You know, the area that currently, well, not currently, but soon will be without congressional representation. And he'll be like that up in Green Bay, up in the 8CD, for like 6 months. Just long enough to make sure there wouldn't be a special election. I kind of think Gallagher is sticking it, not just to his constituents, but also the other Republicans, because they would love to have the inside track. You know, someone running as an incumbent in the fall after winning a special election. And also, this thin majority in the House, well, they're kind of scroogied by this move. When he leaves, and he being Mike Gallagher, well, the House majority, they could only peel one vote on anything that's voting on party lines. But more politics, and Pete Schwabba joining me at 3:30. Pete Schwabba from the Nightlife, Nightlight. We're going to turn our attentions to the less political in a minute, and Dom's joining at 4. He might have some political grievances. You know, do you air the political grievances on the Good Friday? It's hard to know what to do exactly. But I want to bring you a pretty good analogy. I found this one in a column written by our pal Dave Zweifel over at the Cap Times in Madison. Win or lose, Trump and his minions will wreak havoc. Now, he starts talking about a newspaper friend. He sets the stage. He's speaking to a man. What is his name specifically? Lyons is the co-author of a national book award-winning, The Hunting of the President, Gene Lyons. This is the subject, and this is who is being referred to, and here's a quote from Lyons. Let's try an analogy from the sports page. Consider the recent National Collegiate Football Championship. What would we say about it if one team, say the Michigan Wolverines, showed up with assault rifles and vowed to shoot the referees who threw penalty flags adverse to them? Well, we couldn't call it a football game, so how can we call it a proper election when everybody knows that the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party, one Donald J. Trump, will refuse to accept defeat? Adam Sewer puts it this way in The Atlantic. There is something naive to assuming that Trump would accept such a verdict from the electorate a second time when he didn't accept it the first time. Neither a close election nor a sound defeat matters when Trump can induce his supporters to believe any fiction he conjures. Lyons went on to note that while campaigning in Iowa earlier this year, Trump ran an ad that suggested his birth was divinely inspired. I guess I'm not the only one. Narrated in the electronically recreated voice of a late radio pitchman, Paul Harvey, the ad begins like this. And on June 14th, 1946, God looked down on the Planned Paradise and said, I need a caretaker. And so God gave us Trump. We played those ads on the show. I know some of you recall the God gave us Trump ads that they played out in Iowa. Now, try to imagine the hullabaloo if President Biden even hinted at such a thing. They'd say the old fool had clearly lost it. Dementia would be the kindest diagnosis. Now, Biden responded that Trump was nothing more than a sore loser and pointed out that he had lost 60 court cases, claiming the election was stolen from him, including decisions by Trump-appointed judges, not to mention the U.S. Supreme Court. In turn, Trump mocked Biden like a sixth-grade bully, claiming he stuttered while trying to say the word democracy, a claim that was refuted by video of the president's remarks, and then claiming that Americans were paying $5, $6, $7, even $8 a gallon for gas, when the truth is closer to, let's say, $3. This kind of nonsense, the columnist insisted, will be his downfall, and even the dullest MAGA cultists are apt to catch on. I'm less convinced. So, no. I think there's little chance of Trump winning a national election, Lyons proclaimed. Yet there's a rub, which is that there's no possibility of this profoundly disordered man conceding defeat. And every chance that authoritarians mobilizing behind his candidacy, the Steve Bannons, the Stephen Millers, will be far better prepared the second time around, presumably to negate those results. Fool us twice, shame on us, said the headline on Lyons' column. Implausible, questions Dave Zweifel. Don't bet on it. So if I understood this opinion piece and Zweifel leaning on this Lyons, Gene Lyons, the opinion is that Donald Trump can't win. It's not a question of whether or not he can win the presidency on a national vote, at least not according to this opinion piece. The question is what happens then when he loses? But of course he won't acknowledge loss. He never did. He didn't acknowledge it in 2020. We continue. I mean, the Trump campaign is about relitigating his 2020 loss to Joe Biden. You know it. I know it. Dan O'Donnell knows it. They all know it. Well, those in right-wing talk radio that actually showed up today, you know, because they disrespect their audience. They don't even show up and give them a good lie for good Friday. I feel like Dan and Vicky, maybe Dan's working. I didn't verify whether or not Dan's working, but Vicky, you owe your audience some big lies today. Now, our buddy Matt, you know, MAGA Matt Kittle, that's filling in for Vicky, he introduces himself to the audience today as a deplorable, fellow deplorables. Fellow deplorables. Now, if I introduce myself that way each and every day on the radio, first and foremost, Matt doesn't have an everyday gig, but he does the job frequently enough as a fill-in host. He certainly knows, and he's got the same greeting each time. Fellow deplorables. And I'm thinking, yes, what a great thing to be so proud of. Anyways, our buddy Gallagher, going to work for Rich Peter Thiel. He's going to be a defense contractor. Trump's going to lose the election, in the opinion of this column. And also, Crudy, I think he's going to lose. And he's going to fail to acknowledge defeat. And he's going to try and wreak havoc on this nation again. And how we stand up to it. What mechanisms are in place to stand up to it? Well, that's the question. Well, we're here, even on Good Friday. We're here on this wall. You need us on this wall. You want us on this wall. You know, doing the movie quotes, you know, it's not just men. It's especially the men that do this show. And the guy that we're bringing on next is the guy that has some expertise in the movies. He's been a filmmaker. He has made box office movies. The guy is an expert on the topic. Pete Schwab, a host of the Nightlight on the Civic Media, joins me next. Stick around. It's Crudy on Good Friday.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Good Friday edition. We're live, I swear to goodness. Got a fine guest. He's joined me live via stream from the Green Bay Marketplace, WGBW territory. He is Pete Schwab, the host of the Nightlight, right here on the Civic Media Network, playing all across the network. Pete, welcome back to the Devils, man.
Thanks so much, Mike. It's always fun to be here with you, buddy.
Well, you've got the later shift. You do the evening shift, the entertainment shift, if you will. You come on 7 o'clock, 5 days a week, right, Pete? Plus, probably some weekend fare as well.
We do Monday through Friday, 7 to 9. And yeah, we just talk about entertainment, some comedy, fun Wisconsin stuff. Tonight we'll be talking about a new list that's out, the 30 worst movies ever. We'll have some fun with that.
Ooh.
And we're going to talk a little Paranormal Activity tonight with Todd Michaels. And Wendy Schneider will be on to talk about her new film, Angels in Dirt, which premieres at the Wisconsin Film Festival next Friday night. She did the documentary called The Smart Studios a few years ago that told the story of Butch Vig and Steve Marker setting up the little studio right there on East Wash. So she's a great filmmaker. It's going to be a fun show.
That's awesome. Pete, I like the tone in the show. And I even like the entertainment minutes you've been doing across the Civic Media Network.
Yeah.
They're very entertaining, buddy. You've got a background.
Oh,
Pete, tell people a little bit more about you. You did a little stand-up comedy once upon a time.
I did. I toured from like 1990 to 1997. I toured all over America, really, and was fortunate enough to get on TV several times. There were so many TV shows for comedians back then. So that was fun. And then I moved to LA for about 14 years and got lucky enough to sell some screenplays and kind of segued into that. So I don't do stand-up as much anymore. I focused on writing and some acting, and then I've been hosting since I've been back in Wisconsin here, so for about 10 years.
And it's not just the radio work, Pete Schwab. You do Wisconsin Public Television, the director's cut. You're something of a film buff there.
We have, it's a great show called Director's Cut. We don't film as many as we used to. It's on PBS Wisconsin, and Monday night it will air. We'll do our special Wisconsin Film Festival episode of Director's Cut. That's Monday, April 1st, because the film festival kicks off on Thursday. And then I'll be there next weekend representing PBS and introducing films, doing Q&As. It's really fun. Yeah, and it's a great show. It focuses on indie film and primarily indie film in Wisconsin, although not strictly in Wisconsin. And there's a lot of really good filmmakers in our state that have made some really good films, and I've been lucky enough to talk to them over the years. It's been really fun.
Well, Pete, maybe we'll circle back around and talk about the film you made, but let me throw a nomination out there. Worst film ever. This one came immediately to mind. I saw this movie in high school, and it's still up there immediately when you say worst film ever. Fatal Beauty with Sam Elliott and Whoopi Goldberg. And the movie actually supposed to be cast with Cher, and it was Whoopi instead of Cher in the romantic casting with Sam Elliott. And it was after Jumping Jack Flash. You know, and Whoopi, she's still a big deal. She's on The View every day. Oh, my God. Worst, least chemistry, worst movie. I mean, I've seen some bad movies, but let me, may I just throw that one out there for later on the Nightlight, Pete?
I think we could give you a mention there, Mike. I don't know that that movie gets any better with Cher either, to be honest with you.
I'm not sure it would.
What in the heck? That's a studio executives going, who has a Q rating? We need to get Sam Elliott and Whoopi Goldberg. We need to get these two together. That makes no sense whatsoever.
You know, a movie that's hilarious. Recently, Pete, sorry to interrupt.
No.
I watched a movie, Academy Award-winning movie, not for Best Picture. And I thought, well, everybody loves this movie. And I almost turned it off. We were streaming it at home, and my wife and I were both of the impression that Poor Things might not be worth the watch. You know, the juice might not be worth the squeeze. And we did watch the entirety of the movie. And I got to tell you, as the character was developed, Emma Stone's character developed more intellectually. She started as basically a Frankenstein, and she became a woman, right? And in that movie, as she became a woman, it became more, but it was very sexualized. And I got to say, I understand the Jimmy Kimmel joke now, and I don't find it any funnier, but I understand the joke because it was very sexual. But the movie, I almost didn't make it through that one, Pete. That was a hard one for me.
Was his joke that something about he's not used to seeing her with this many clothes or something like that? I kind of remember that.
Yeah, he stuck some sex joke in her face because sex is a central theme for the woman, the character, the Frankenstein, this grown woman who had killed herself, given a child's brain, and basically grows up and very hypersexualized. But at the end, I think it's sort of it's empowering of the woman. Yeah. You know, it's a woman controlling her own sexuality. I think is you know, if there's a deeper theme, and maybe I missed it initially, but the deeper theme was, you know, she ended up in charge of her own destiny. And I thought that was the empowerment of the female character, I thought was a big part of it. And I get it, maybe at the end, redeeming, but I got to tell you, Pete, almost didn't make it to the end.
That was the last one I saw, Mike. And I only saw it because I was paying $20 a pop for these movies, because some of them you have to buy.
Yeah.
So that one they released on the day of the Oscars. So I saw that on the day of the Oscars, and I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't know that much about it going in. I loved Mark Ruffalo. I love how she frustrated his character. He was like a womanizer, and she drove him bananas. And I did like it. I came around on it. I didn't know what to make of it at first. And I did like what you said, and whatever, I'm a guy, but I thought how she became empowered at the end of the movie. I did not see that coming. And so overall I liked it, but it's, it's not for everyone. It's kind of out there, you know.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I'm going to call you my movie friend, Pete Schwabe. He is the host of The Nightlight and the Director's Cut on Wisconsin Public Television. And you can hear him right here about 7 o'clock each and every night, weeknights. And Pete, some sad news. Lou Gossett Jr. died, I believe, today or overnight. He died.
Yeah.
And I remember him in a specific movie role. And again, I apparently have a very selective memory, Pete, but if you'll indulge me, I'm gonna be self-indulgent. I'm gonna play you a very memorable scene with Lou Gossett Jr. I know you sometimes play the movie clips on yours, The Nightlight Show. Well, Rich has helped me out. Let's play it. This is him in Richard Gere in An Officer and a Gentleman, one of my favorite scenes of all time, played for the people.
Now, why would a slick little hustler like you want to sign up for this kind of abuse anyway?
I want to fly jets, sir.
My grandmama wants to fly jets.
I want it since I was a kid.
We're not talking about flying here. We're talking about character.
I've changed. I've changed since I've been here.
Hell, you have.
I've changed, sir.
No. You just polished up your act a little bit. You just shined it up. Now tell me what I want to hear. I want your D.O.R.
No, sir.
I want your D.O.R.
I ain't gonna quit.
Spell it.
D.O.R. I ain't gonna quit.
Yeah, then you can be free and you and your daddy can get drunk and go hall chasing again, huh?
No, sir.
D.O.R.
I ain't gonna quit.
All right, then you can forget it. You're out.
Don't you do it. Don't you. I got nowhere else to go. I got nowhere else to go.
Very memorable scene for me, Pete. I was a
best scene in the movie.
Oh yeah. Well, that maybe the kickboxing scene between Lou Gossett and Richard Gere.
Yeah, that was both good too.
Both pretty good. You know, there are several good scenes. The Deborah Winger getting carried out at the end. Lots of good scenes. But the tribute to Lou Gossett Jr. And I was asked to watch that movie as a 17-year-old kid. And I'm going to give you a little too much information about me, Pete. I was a ward of the state of Wisconsin. My mom had died, and I ended up as a foster kid in the state. And I had to go and see a judge every 6 months. And I was in basically court-ordered therapy. Wanted or not, the court said, you're gone. So anyways, as a ward of the state, I so hated this circumstance. I was a very independent-minded kid. So anyways, I had this therapist, and he was a pretty good, solid therapist trying to help, you know, a twisted teenager. We're all a little twisted at that age, a little more by the time you get to this age, but trying to help, you know, give me some clarity in life. And he asked me, go watch An Officer and a Gentleman. He said, go watch that movie. You know, I was a bit of a loner after I'd lost my mom. And he said, you know, the Zach Mayo character reminds me a lot of you. Go watch the movie. And so I still have a very vivid memory because, you know, you don't often go into a movie with the preconceived notion that some therapist in the court says you got to watch it. And the therapist thinks this character might share some qualities with you. And so anyways, I'm like, that's great because Richard Gere, he was super cool. But, you know, these many years later, he's still got all his hair and I don't. You got all yours.
Okay. You're doing okay, Mike.
Oh no, Pete.
I just mean in general, you know, we all have our thing, but that was such a great scene. Now that makes a lot of sense. That story you just told me and how you relate to that. Cause the best part in that whole movie is when he says, I got nowhere else to go. And it was, I could see why you would relate to that. That's pretty cool. And a good film overall.
Oh, I liked it. Pete Schwabo. Yeah. He is a film buff and the host of the Nightlight right here on the Civic Media Network. Starts at 7 o'clock. He's got a fine show this evening to roll out for you fine folks. And Pete, I gotta tell you, you came to me once upon a time and said, Crudy, you gotta watch it. And I'm like, what's watch it? And he said, well, watch it. You never know what to watch. And I want to tell people what to watch. And I want to do so right here on Civic Media. And I said, well, maybe I can introduce you to the right people. And we did. And here you are, Pete. And
you sure did.
So we're going into a holiday weekend. What should I watch, buddy? Give me a few of your best watches for a holiday weekend.
So, all right. So what are you in the mood for, I guess? First of all, since you like Officer and Gentleman, there's a new Liam Neeson film out. And believe it or not, he gets angry and gets revenge. His family is involved. However, it's getting really good reviews. It's called In the Land of Sinners and Saints. And, you know, Liam's Irish. I love when he played. I loved him in like Michael Collins. If you want a good Easter movie and a good movie set in Ireland with Liam Neeson, who is a really good actor, even though he makes some pretty cheesy films at times. In the Land of Sinners and Saints is a big release this weekend. I know Ghostbusters is out there. I haven't seen that yet. I saw Dune 2. I like that.
I got a son home for, I think Ghostbusters. If it's at the theater, Ghostbusters already sounds like a winner for at least my 20-year-old. He'll drag me to that. I
suspect. Yeah.
How about you? No, you mentioned same. Your daughter?
Yeah, she said she has seen the Sydney Sweeney movie. I'm blanking on it.
You don't have to bother. That I won't see that one. Whatever that is, that won't be Crudy's
watcher this weekend. Here's what they do, Mike. Here's what kids do now. They go to the movies and they hang out. They pay the $8 and then they just go in there and horse around. And you got to tell them to shut up. And it's ridiculous. So that's what kids are doing. And they did it last weekend with my wife. I went to see Knox Goes Away, the new Michael Keaton film, where he has an issue with dementia. He's also an assassin and he has to help his son with this problem before he literally loses his mind. He's got like 2 weeks. Pretty good film. But the kids were in there horsing around. And halfway through the film, after a couple of people told him to shut up, they actually were quiet and watching the film. And I'm like, that is a great barometer to see if a movie is good. If teenage kids can watch a movie with an old guy in it and come around halfway through to watch it, that's a good movie.
Pete Schwabba, the host of Nightlight. You got time, Pete, for one more short segment?
Absolutely. I'm here, man.
Let's have more, Pete, because I didn't get enough. The Sydney Sweeney recommendation. Sorry, Pete, but I'm not taking that one. I've been watching Shogun. I do like the Shogun on Hulu, and that is based on the original Richard Chamberlain Shogun, I suspect.
Yeah.
Although I never watched it back then. Maybe my mama did. But this newest Shogun, other than the fact it's all in subtitles, you cannot scroll. If you pick up your phone during this show, you're lost.
You're lost.
You totally. Must stay engaged. And, you know, I got to tell you, man, I think that's a good way sometimes to keep you engrossed in the movie. Although I always, even English on English, I always read the subtitles.
Right, same.
Come back with us. It's not subtitled. He's Pete Schwabba. Nightlight. We'll talk more about the movies, what to watch. Watch it this weekend. He'll tell you what, just not Sydney Sweeney so much.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A good Friday indeed. I got a fine guest. He is Pete Schwabba, host of the Nightlight right here on the Civic Media Network. Also, host of the Director's Cut. Find him on the Wisconsin Public Television. Pete, appreciate you sticking around.
My pleasure, man. Always great to join you, Mike.
Okay, more about Crudy, because I am sort of a self-centered bastard. The other thing I'm watching currently, and I've been recommending to my wife, although now she's, you know, here's the problem with the dropping of the the dramas or the shows, you know, once a week or when they drop them in sequence and you got all the episodes. But once you start watching something and you want someone else to join you in the watching, well, they're already behind you in the watching. So this is the, you know, first world drama that I have.
Right.
But the other show I've been watching and I've been recommending, Death in Other Details, and doesn't include Sydney Sweeney, but it does include Violet Bean. She's quite a talented young actress, and Mandy Patinkin, familiar face, you know, so it's kind of got some of the stuff for the young kids today. And she is this very smart sort of detective in training lady, and Mandy's the old school detective. He's the elder statesman teaching her the craft, the details that she's got to look for. And my son, and this is something that's a little more dated, the Cumberbatch version, the modern day Sherlock Holmes, he had me watching an episode of that yesterday. I thought, well, not bad, but it's been done since 7 years, but nothing new is coming out, but I like the mysteries. What about you, Pete?
Yeah, same. Is that the Elementary? Is that the show called Elementary?
No, it's like Sherlock Holmes.
Okay. Someone was just talking about Elementary the other night, and that's why I thought maybe you were. Yeah, I like the mysteries too. I love a good cop show, whether it's in the 1800s or like the one my son and I watch all the time is Bosch on Prime. He's an LA detective. an orphan kid. These are based on Michael Connelly books. If you like a good cop story, and it's like, it's just so well written, so well acted. The it's shot beautifully, and the hero is the actor Titus Welliver, who is not a steroid guy. He's not a he's kind of a thinker, but he's also kind of a badass. It's so well done. If you like cop shows, I highly recommend Bosch.
What was your favorite cop show as a younger person, younger man growing up?
Starsky and Hutch, which I wasn't allowed to watch. Thank you to my mom, who thought it was sent mixed messages to young kids, and she's probably right. But I had to go to school the next day, and everybody's talking about Starsky and Hutch, and I'm just nodding and smiling.
You didn't
like
have
I
the lunchbox or anything, man, did you?
No, I probably had Sesame Street, and I'm in the inner city Chicago school. Just she's making a target of me. So
I was thinking, I love good cop shows. I was going to say Miami Vice.
Oh, yeah. I remember that's when I was in college. Yeah.
When I saw Miami Vice, I wanted a Ferrari. And
yeah,
I wanted to live in Miami, man. That just seemed like an exotic place to me. And, you know, the fact that they called one of the characters Big Booty Trudy, you know, I just thought this was a different sort of cop show. These were different sort of cops. These weren't the Joe Friday beat cops. These were the super cool, you know, white suit, pink shirt wearing, you know, stubble having Don Johnson sort of cops. But anyways, I like that one.
It's interesting. Go ahead. You said that, Mike, because the movie, we're talking about bad movies. Did you see Miami Vice, the movie?
If I did, it was not memorable.
It wasn't good. And it's Michael Mann, who I love, but man, this thing just missed. And it was too bad because I was kind of excited. I remember when it came out to see it.
Pete, what do you think of the movies you've seen? What do you think has been the most entertaining? Recently, new stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I saw all the Oscar films, and even if I didn't get why it was nominated for an Oscar, I still liked them. I had Rob Thomas from the Capital Times on recently. We both kind of agreed that The Zone of Interest, the one about the Nazis who lived next to the concentration camp, the family, great visual art, but kind of a weird movie. And same thing with American Fiction. Really liked it a lot. I really liked it. I was like, Oscars? I don't know, you know. But lately in the theater too, I've seen. Have you seen The Beekeeper, Mike?
I have not.
Okay, Jason Statham. And of course, this is what they do now. Everyone is a trained killer, and they all have normal jobs. This guy's a beekeeper, but he's also an
slash
assassin.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I'm a radio really well host done. Slash assassin. Yeah.
And you kill people, yeah. But it's really fun. It gets a little outlandish at the end. But as action movies go, and they're so hard to find a good action movie that's not completely cheesy, it was pretty fun. I recommend that if you're looking for something with your son. If you're looking for something with your daughter or your wife, The Marvelous Miss Maisel, if you haven't seen it yet.
Yes.
Great show. Yeah, I just got into it recently.
Well, you know, I'm seasons ahead of you, but I've left like 3 or 4 unwatched episodes. And someday soon I'm going to savor them. Maybe over the Easter weekend, I'm just going to put on and watch the final couple episodes of Miss Maisel. He's Beach Baba. He's the host of Nightlight right here on the Civic Media, 7 to 9 o'clock weeknights. And going into a big holiday weekend, Pete, I want to put you on the spot now. If you had to pick a Easter movie or maybe an Easter themed movie, what would it be?
Easter themed movie. Wow. That I'd be reaching. I don't think I could help you there, but if you're looking for something on an Easter weekend, you know, there's a Steve Martin documentary out this weekend. He's had a fascinating life. If you want to go see the movies, I would recommend the Liam Neeson one. I also like Shogun, Mike. Roadhouse, I would steer clear of. Was not a fan.
Oh, really? I like the Roadhouse. My kids made me watch the Roadhouse.
On Prime?
I did. I watched it, the Jake Gyllenhaal and the Conor McGregor. And it's the beat 'em up fighting sort of movies go. You know, at the
it
end,
looked it, beautiful. It looked beautiful. Florida Who did you Keys. Like in the movie, Mike? Who did you like in the movie?
Who did I like? Who yeah, like, did who I like?
They're all terrible people.
Oh, you mean all the actors or all the characters?
Just their characters. Like Jake Gyllenhaal, like, killed someone in the ring. Conor McGregor's walking around naked the whole movie. Like, what is going on here?
Well, you know, some of us like the nakedness. You should be my buddy Dominic. He walks around naked when we travel. I've known that
he's
guy
been
for
up to WGBW.
Years.
Yeah, I had to tell him, I had to force him. Conrad and I had to force him to keep his clothes on while he was there.
So, yes, please do. That's requirement here on the show as well. Beach Waba, naked or clothes, man, you can come around anytime. Really appreciate you doing so. Listen for him this evening, especially 7 o'clock, the Nightlight right here on the Civic Media Station you're listening to. I would recommend the 92.7 FM streams out across the Civic Media app as well. Happy Good Friday. Happy Easter to you and your family, Pete.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. You too.
Thank you. Stick around. Dom's coming. Party's starting. It's a happy hour. It starts right now.